to pay the cost. I found myself not setting aside the time to study, not setting aside the time to pray over this. So if anything good comes out of the sermon, it's because God is behind it, not me, because I hurried through this, I did the rough work, and I apologize because you guys are not getting my best because I'm not prayed up on this and I didn't study up on this. So the thought of, are you willing to pay the cost? That came to me after I've had a few conversations with people at work and overheard something else. I've been in my new job for 7 months now, and I had found myself out of sorts. Life was getting to me. I had starting to doubt God's direction in my life. Did I choose the right job? I left a job that I had 9.5 years with to go to a startup. And life was stable, it was calm, it was easy. And here I am, where I was working fewer hours, but feeling like I had less time, earning more money, but feeling like I was making less money, and feeling like I was out of control. I am so used to being in control, and like, I don't double book things in my life. I don't forget this. I'm like generally on top of stuff. And I found myself having to apologize at least 3 times because I double booked a day. And I absolutely forgot I'd made an obligation, and I was just out of sorts. And I'm like, I even debated going to a doctor to tell him I thought I was losing my mind. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this job was just demanding more out of me than I had had before. And things were slipping away because I wasn't used to having a stressful job. But I was just going back and forth and back and forth with God. I'm like, is this where you want me? I mean, the life was easy. Why would you pull me out of an easy job and make my life harder? And well, and that's it. He wanted to test me. He wanted to grow me. He basically went, okay, you are going from the reserves, not quite to the front lines, but to one of the flanks of the battle. We are moving you up, and you're going to find out what it is, and you're going to test yourself. Which is, by the way, exactly where this sermon comes from. God put me in this job to find out if I was willing to pay the cost that was necessary. And of the stressors I found is MSC was really good in a business environment, and people's language was about 95-98% clean. Their actions, their jokes, 98% clean. You know, not bad. I started at Redwood, and that was almost the opposite. And I found that quickly people's attitudes had shifted. They stopped cussing as much, but I found myself falling into the work attitude I had. And one time at home, I slipped up and my brain slipped into the work attitude, and something came out of my mouth that shouldn't have come out of my mouth. It wasn't horrible. It was just the thought behind it. And I had to apologize to the kids because it was like, whoa, where did that come from? And it's because my coworkers are rubbing off on me. And that's just part of my life got harder. And I was just like, God, how could you be doing this to me? What are you doing? What are you trying to do here? What is the goal? What is the point? What is the purpose? My life is harder and I don't see a point to it. And I just felt like I was letting people down. I was getting very depressed because I was just letting everybody down. I was failing left and right. I couldn't keep up. I was not where I knew I should be. I was forgetting everything. I was not returning messages. I got to looking at it and I hadn't returned one of my friend's messages for over 2 weeks. And I'm usually the type that's like, no, just sit down and text. You know, not to be mean, but if I want to text you back, I will text you back ASAP. I'm very good about that. And I just didn't see a point and a purpose to it. And I was just, I, I, I was just doing that spiral. And then in the span of 4 days, God told me why he wanted me there. I had a conversation with somebody, and they said that they didn't feel that music had any effect on them. You could listen to whatever you wanted, and it would not affect you at any point. And I was like, I almost wanted to ask them, do you truly believe that? How can you truly believe that? And I got to thinking that if you don't have Christ to act as a rock, you really would think that nothing's going to affect you. You don't see it coming. It doesn't affect you. I mean, it's fine. And I was like, huh, okay, God, how do I respond to that? And I just didn't have a good response without being like, oh, yeah, if you were a Christian, you would have this. You know, trust me, if you were a Christian, you'd understand my side of the view. And yeah, I can't quite do that. And then I overheard the same person tell someone else a couple days later that they didn't believe that language had any effect on you. What they said almost exactly was, oh yeah, if you cuss, that's not a problem, but if you cuss at me, the game is on. And I was like, if you'd said that to me, I had a good reply. I mean, how could you do that? I mean, if language has no effect on you, you wouldn't mind if I sat there and listed off an entire page of curse words at you, because it means nothing. I don't mean it, right? But then I was thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me to talk to these people, because if they truly believe this, they're more lost than I thought they were. Because I have this naive nature where I tend to think that most people are on the same wavelength. They're close to the same wavelength that I am. They see the world close to the way I do, and they would understand. And then a couple days after all that, I had another conversation with somebody who he said, you know, he grew up in church in the Deep South. But then he continued to say that basically he phrased it basically, you can believe what you want, that God would understand. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you mean well. God will understand. And I'm like, and this is from somebody who, judging by what he's telling me and how he's saying it, would claim to be a Christian. But I didn't call him on that because I'm like, how do you tell him he's that far wrong? You know, to literally just go, I'm sorry, are you saved? Well, I don't think you are, because, and I'm like, oh, it's not the time and the place. But even that, I'm like, Lord, are these people really this lost? Are they truly that far outside? And God was just opening my eyes to how much work there is to do. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, okay, I understand a job for me here. But what if I don't want to do it? You know, what if the cost is too high? And that was the thought that I kept on going back to God with. I mean, was it worth it? This is a fight. This is an uphill battle. The consistency I have to live in my life, the knowledge I have to have, that is all straight uphill. Do I want to do this? I'm not a fighter. I am the type of person who, if you push, I will take a step back. Until you hit, there are certain points at which I will take a stand. But for the most part, I am the you push, I fall back, and I'm a defensive player. And here was God basically saying, well, the people you're dealing with, this is a battle. You're going to have to go on the offense. You're going to have to be prepared for this. And I kept on going to God, going, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if this is where I want to be. I don't know if this is worth it. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, I know it's worth it. Of course, the Christian aspect is, it's worth it. Yes, of course it's worth it. These are souls. And I'm like, but God, you could send someone who's better able, who's better, you know, who's a fighter. Have them fight with these people. Cool. And I was just, I was, you know, I was in a quandary because I wanted to fall back. I wanted to take a step back. I wanted to think about this. And, you know, that's just, you know, my philosophy is almost if I don't start the battle, there will be no battle. And as I continued to think about that, the word cost kept going through my head. And I kept on going back to the idea of the cost that people in the Bible had paid. And the funny one that occurred to me was Philip. You know, I am a schedule person. You give me a schedule, I work that schedule. I'm good with schedules. So I can only picture I'm just sitting there working and God goes, "So Chris, I want you to go meet that caravan that's out there on the road over there, and I want you to talk to the guy over there. But God, I'm in the middle of work. Don't you see? I'm doing busy work right now. I'm good. No, Chris, go over there. Go over there and do that." And for me, that just is like, that would be a cost. That is me having to get out of my comfort zone. That's me, like, of course, for the glory of God, it is worth it and it would be worth it. And I would go do it. I like the idea of Philip being like, yeah, let's go. You know? But then Philip goes over there, talks to the eunuch over there. And when he gets done, he's carried away by the Holy Spirit and the eunuch sees him no more. And I'm like, but that would just ruin my day. I can't get back to work. God says, go over here. And I just, for some reason, that was the first image that came was poor Philip and the cost he paid to the consistency and the steadiness in his life. And, you know, could you just imagine your day being ruined by that? And then I was, my brain went to, you know, Abraham. Even if Abraham, you know, like, well, Abraham knew that God was going to have to raise his son if he sacrificed him. But that's a lot to ask. You know, I would love to say Abraham never thought about walking away when God goes, I want you to go here and sacrifice your son. I would love to believe that Abraham was like, yep, let's do this. Pack the donkeys, let's go. I would be like, hold on. I must have earwax in my ear because I don't think I heard you right. But in the back of my mind, I'd be like, I don't know about this. Did I do something wrong? Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? And I was like, that's a big ask, especially to ask a parent. I mean, get up off where you are. You're at home. You're doing something. And God says, yeah, go over here and sacrifice. Go take a trip. I'm going to show you where. And go sacrifice your son. Matthew was asked to leave his possibly lucrative tax collector business. I don't know what would be going through Matthew's head. I can only tell you what would be going through mine. Go ahead and leave your nice lucrative job and follow me. That tells me there was probably a lot of need in Matthew's life. There was something he didn't see or didn't know about that when Jesus was like, come follow me, he's like, that's it, I'm done. He might have the answers. Let's go. Gideon was asked to be brave and to step out in faith in leading the people of God. All of those are huge costs. You're asked to do something, you follow through, but it's going to take a lot to do. And then for some of the negative ones, Saul was told to kill everyone and give, you know, destroy the wealth, bring nothing back. He failed. That one, I can almost understand that one. Saul gets out there, the people are like, yes, but there's gold, there's animals. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, God said destroy it all. Yeah, you know, can't be all bad, right? We'll take some. And then he tries to play it off. And I was like, I can see that one. You know, it's not necessarily that the cost on that one is too high. There's just a way around it. I don't have to pay the cost. It'll be later. The young rich ruler that talked to Jesus was asked to give up, or be prepared at least, to give up his comfort and wealth if God asked him to. And he went away sad. He was devastated by the thought of leaving that comfort and that wealth. And as many times as God and I have gone around about the fact that I would love to be comfortable and wealthy, I can understand that one. Luckily, God got a hold of my heart fairly long ago and by asking me a very direct question. He said, if you won the lottery, and I don't remember the amount he and I was just speculating on. He's like, what if I asked for all of it? Well, yeah, I mean, let's just pick $100,000. I win the lottery. I decide to go play the lottery, and I win the $100,000. And God goes, okay, give it to me. My first thought is, well, yeah, I mean, let me set aside $50,000 into the bank, and you can have the other $50,000. God goes, no, all of it. $10,000? Can I set aside $10,000? That's comfortable. I can get a car on $10,000. That's fine. No, all of it. Okay, I'll give you the after I pay taxes on it. No, all of it. Would I go into debt for God? If I played the lottery, won the lottery, and God says, give it all to me. And I thought about that one, and I'm like, yes, I would. If I played the lottery and I won the lottery, and God said, give it all to me, I'd go into debt for God. And I hope that's as true as I think it is. But it's funny how many times God has been like, would you pay the cost on this? And I have to test that into my heart. And I have to run that through what I know. And I have to run through. And my way of solving stuff is to play scenarios. And I can usually get myself to give myself the truth if I have to answer a scenario. You know, if I played the lottery, won the lottery, what would I do? Well, that triggers all the feelings I would have. And I go, okay, would I do this for God? And God has used a lot of that to test me and be like, would you do this? And a lot of times I fail miserably. Here, a couple weeks ago, I didn't give someone a track because it was uncomfortable. And luckily the people who were with me were braver than I was the next time, and they did. But I let the fear, the protect myself side of me, step up. And I think that's one of the big ways that God deals with me, is he says, are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone to reach someone else? Are you willing to be where you are uncomfortable, around people who you have to watch out that they don't rub off on you? Are you willing to reach into their lives and to touch them with the hand of God? Are you willing to be there for these people whenever and whatever they need and help them? And I don't know. I mean, the answer, of course, is yes, but I still go around with God on that. I don't want to do that. That's not safe. That's not comfortable. And then God goes, okay, so if I asked you to go to Nineveh, where would you go? Would you go to Tarshish or would you go to Nineveh? Nineveh. I hope I'd go to Nineveh. I really do hope so, because I don't like the idea of a fish. But, you know, get swallowed by a fish. But I do run around on that one. If I knew that this was the last place on earth, I hope I would never deem somebody irretrievable by God. And I hope that I would go wherever God says and talk to whoever he says. But I'm sure when Jonah looked at that, he went, nope, I'm not paying that cost. I will pay the cost to go the other way. I will put money on the line to walk away from God. And I'm going to make God send somebody else, I'm sure is what he thought. And I can tell you that from a lot of times, if you don't pay the cost up front, it gets harder. I didn't want to give the tract to somebody because in the past I haven't. Because that's uncomfortable. That's not easy. That, you know, they might ask questions. They might think badly of me. And it gets that much harder in the future when you don't do it once. You know, we stop seeing an easy way to do something. We gave up on it once, and it's much harder to take a stand and to pay that cost. And the cost only goes up. I mean, because the second time God's like, hey, give this person a tract, you're now fighting yourself and whatever that original fear was. And it's just, you know, that's God is, I'm still going around with God on that, about the, you know, paying the cost. I have to look at my fellow employees and my entire, everyone at my company, and go, God has me here for a purpose. I am here to serve them. Whatever that's going to take, whatever the cost is, I have to pay that cost. And that's not comfortable. That's not nice. That's not safe. That's not easy. And it's going to cost a lot. And I don't even know what it's going to cost right now. And I just, you know, I keep on thinking about, you know, for some reason, God just kept me going around with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I think in that one, God is trying to teach me to trust him, to lean on him, to not give in to that fear when it's around you, and to trust him to direct you, that where you are is where he wants you. So if he's asking you to pay a cost, it's not really a cost at all. Yes, it seems like one. Yes, you have to fight through the fear and the doubt and whatever else comes up, and you have to take the hard times. You have to be prepared to sit there at work going, I am not as sharp as I was at my last job. Well, maybe it's because it's mentally taking more. I'm not as quick as I was. Well, maybe because you need to adjust something. Maybe God is trying to teach you to be more diligent with your time and to make sure you text people back right away. Maybe God is being like, hey, you know, should we speak about your time management, your money management? You know, maybe God's putting me in a place that I'm not comfortable with to teach me new lessons so that someday he can move me from one of the sides of the battle, maybe to helping on the front line. And I hope that that's something that, I hope you guys do a lot better on that than I do, because I always feel like I'm just into this wall, into the next wall, into the next wall. I just pick a wall and go run face first into it, I think. I just continue to pray that God will continue to have mercy on me, because walking with him is interesting. It's a treat. This pastor's, him texting me in the morning about what he's thankful for has always caused me to think about how thankful I am that God deals with stubborn kids. No, thank you. So I was also asked to remind you guys that John is not getting out early. So if you have kids down in teen class, they're going to be there for at least another 30 minutes, I think it is.
20?
Yeah. Okay.
Tell them to hurry.
No, that was specific. Actually, apparently I'm very known for going short on my messages, enough so that the last his short, because apparently I do tend to run short. Do you guys have